Hello, my name is Monica S, and I am a compulsive overeater. So happy Unity Day. I want to just look at the definition of unity. And the one dictionary I use, I think it's Webster's, defines unity as one, the state of being oneness, two, a whole or totality, as combining all its parts into one. Three, the state or fact of being united or combined into one, as of the parts of a whole. And so I like that third definition the most. The state of being united or combined into one, because that definition like looks at our differences, but also unites those differences into one. And for me, like, yes, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm also a Black woman. I'm bipolar. I have anorexia, not anorexia, anxiety, not anorexia, anxiety. Listen to the last speaker. ADHD, like a lot of mental health things. I'm bisexual, spiritually, spiritual agnostic. So, there's a lot of different parts just within me. But those parts are unified into one person, into one body. And I need to, appreciate each part. But, know that every part is special, but it becomes like part of the one. Similar to OA, like, there's people come from all different backgrounds, but we're united in one common we're united in one common like disease. And the big book says, in the doctor's opinion, that on page XXVIII, where after he describes the different types of alcoholics, he says, all these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon is, as we have suggested, maybe the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. And he says the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And so I think that, like we are united and that we all have this allergy. And I think that we all have the same abstinence too, which is refraining from eating our red foods, our alcoholic foods. I think our food plans differ. Like what you have to refrain from eating might be different for different people, but the definition is still the same for all of us, like abstaining from those foods that are alcoholic foods, those foods that give us problems. And so just to back up a little bit about me. When I was little, I would isolate and hide in the food. Junk food was my best friend. I had my mental health issues. I went to law school. I became a civil rights lawyer. Things kind of went south with that. And so I decided to go to nursing school. And when I was there, I was more isolated, just sitting and studying and eating white flour and sugar like all day. I ended up flunking out of nursing school, because I was like isolation. I was just isolating in the food. I didn't think I was like good enough to get help or talk to other people. I was too scared. Or, part of me might have thought like I was too good to get help. Like I'm better than these people. So my ego was a real issue there and kept me in isolation. And it's interesting because the same mental illness or depression or anxiety inside of me that wants to isolate, like that wants to keep me isolated, is the same like depression and mental illness that makes me want to pick up junk food. So I feel like, picking up my alcoholic foods is directly intertwined with, or it directly correlates with me isolating. And I just raised that to say, like, that's why unity is so important. Like, a part of, I mean, it's kind of a verb, right? Like, to unite. It is like this, the state of being united. But I try to think of it as more active because, as Clara said in the beginning, this is a we program. And, like, yeah, it is the first word of the very first step. So they thought it was important. So, yeah, I eventually joined OA and was able to pull together some semblance of self-esteem, thank goodness, like positive self-esteem. But OA helped me to talk back to some of those negative thoughts, including having a therapist, taking medication. But OA is definitely a part of my it's part of my mental health routine, and it's a part of my like recovery, of course. And like step two talks about having a higher, finding something that can restore us to sanity. And as far as the being spiritual, I would say that I like the quote, well, I'll just say this. I feel like OA gave me the right to be spiritual back. I feel that spirituality was kind of taken away from me, both by some of the sexism in my religion of origin, and then also, and then later on, by the exclusionary tendencies of some of the groups I were in, where everybody was an atheist, so I was an atheist. And so I came into OA atheist. They're like, you have to have a higher power. I was like, okay. But the cool thing is that you get to define it as you want. And that's a part of diversity too, because we come from all different religions and neurodiverse or neuronormal and all different types of physically, mentally handicapped, like whatever, different races. It's all in unity with diversity statement. Where I like how no matter what we are, we come together like as one. And I'll say that one of my favorite quotes is, if God were small enough for me to understand him, he wouldn't be big enough to help me. And I really agree with that, only I call my higher power divine mother goddess. So I say, if my goddess were small enough for me to understand her, then she would not be big enough to help me. And sometimes I call my higher power divine mother goddess or mother universe. And I just say that to, I don't think higher power has a gender at all. I just like to say that because it makes it more relatable to me, and it reconciles the contradiction between the idea that, God isn't male or female, as I was told in my religion of origin, but, they always will refer to him as he or his, this and that. So I just feel like the female side of God doesn't get enough attention. So that's why I do that, to like even it out. I don't know, it might be the lawyer in me to try to have some justice. But the main reason I say it though too is because there might be people in these rooms who don't know that, like, you can, like, there's the concept of God, but nobody can define that. And you have to define it for yourself. And I would advise you not to take so much time in trying to understand this higher power, because you're never going to be able to truly understand it. And you don't have to. You just kind of have to believe in it and pray to it. And I would pray to ask higher power to reveal themselves more and more to me. And I see higher power in plants and animals and in my mostly in other people, in my fellows. Like, I feel like you guys are my angels because you speak to me, like, higher power speaks to me through the people in these rooms that I talk to on the phone or see in person or see at meetings. And so yeah, for those reasons, I say that OA gave me the right to be spiritual back, because, when I was and I call myself spiritually agnostic because I don't know, but that's okay. And the other thing is, like, when it comes to spirituality, I used to be really judgmental about people, and that's contrary to unity, right? I used to be really judgmental about people and their religious beliefs. Like, if I was an atheist, I would judge them for believing in God. If I was religious, I would judge them for not believing in God. But Now I see that if I put my inflated ego to the side, I can actually learn spiritual lessons and practices from people, whether they're religious or not. So now I just, I do my own thing, but I learn from different, pull things from different groups and kind of meld something that works for me. In step seven in the AA 12 and 12 on page 70, it says, indeed, the attainment of greater humility is the foundation principle of AA's 12 steps. And so I think humility is super important too, because I feel like humility is putting down my ego and reaching out to help or get help or relate to another person. And anyway, I definitely put my higher power, I try to put my higher power at the head of my life, because when I'm running things, it is like, what does it look like when I run the show versus what it looks like when my higher power runs the show? And it looks a lot better, and I'm, not in the food, and I'm making calls when I'm letting my higher power lead. And like, feel like being a compulsive overeater, I've been, or we've been in like, I've been in a cage my whole life, and in that cage, my best friend was food, and it's all that I knew. And now it's enjoying away. I was able to make new friends, so the food wasn't my only friend. Like, I wasn't just isolating with my best friend food, but like, I found new friends, and I'm able to learn and grow. And some other things I just don't want to forget to say is that, like, the mental health, first of all, compulsive overeating is a kind of a mental health issue in and of itself. But if you have other mental health issues, such as there's a million different mental health issues you could name, depression, bipolar, whatever. We have a mental health meeting on OA Footsteps. It's at 1 p.m. Eastern time every single Wednesday. And that's such a special meeting, and it's near and dear to my heart. And we keep that meeting going so that we have a space for people who want to be able to talk about freely their mental health issues in their OA program. And also in Detroit, if you ever come to visit us here in Detroit, Michigan, there's an OA Greater Detroit intergroup, and I'm the PIPO chair of that. And the reason I want to do service there was because, mainly because Detroit, Michigan is like a very, very densely populated, it's mostly a black city with a rising Latino population. But in the Greater Detroit Intergroup, there wasn't a single in-person OA meeting in Detroit. And I was just shocked by that when I found that out.
Two
And that,
minutes.
thank you. And Detroit is, my home, and I love it, and I love my people. And so a couple, like in 2023, I started a meeting in Detroit, an in-person meeting, and it's still going on now, 3 years later. And that was just really important to me. I feel like that's a part of diversity too, like making sure that, making sure that that there's a place for everyone. Some people like don't feel safe going to meetings, especially at first, where nobody else looks like them. So this is a place where, like, there's people in Detroit who look like you. And then just a plug for service. There's a Unity with Diversity committee at World Service, and sometimes at the region level or intergroup level. And I like how it keeps us mindful about our differences, so that as a group, we stay conscious about them, so that we can be united. I feel like if we're not conscious about the diverse aspects of our single group, they'll get ignored or feel ignored, and then not want to come here. But like, the Unity with Diversity committees aren't perfect, but I feel like it's an honest effort, and we're really trying to make sure that everybody feels included. And because, I need you to be a part of for this program to work, I need you. I need everybody here, no matter like what you look like, sound like, no matter your creed. And that is about all I'll say. I'll just end with, the point of the steps in this program is to have a spiritual awakening. And I feel like I've had that. I know my higher power is everywhere. Thank you. I see my time is up. She's inside of me. And she speaks to me through my intuition and through you, through my angels. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.